right. Now, take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Last Days Ministry. And today I have assigned a Prophecy Sunday, and we want to look at two passages that are very related. This morning we looked at the times we live in, and tonight we want to look at how to minister in this time, how to minister in the last days. And we're in the last of the last days. I believe that with all my heart. And if I was preaching this to preachers, which I did recently, I would talk about preach the word. What do we preach? We preach the word. How do we preach the word? And why do we preach the word? But we're talking to us tonight. But I believe there's principles in here on last days ministry. Okay? So let's begin to look at that. But number one, let me get all the suspense out of the way. How do we minister in the last days? The same way the church has done for 2,000 years. Okay? Let's look in chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Those that don't endure sound doctrine are they. They're not believers. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Not the teacher having itching ears, but the people. They're looking for somebody to tell them a cozy little story and make them feel comfortable. And they shall turn away the ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Father, I pray tonight as we look at this text again with a little different theme and principles, rather not centered mainly around preaching the Bible, but on last day's ministry, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, if we're going to minister effectively in these last days, number one, we've got to understand that we will be judged. God will judge us one day for our lack of ministry or for our giving to ministry, okay? We will be judged. Look at verse 1 again. Paul uses two words in verse 1, the word charge and the word judge. Paul gives charge to every preacher, in a broader sense, to every believer to proclaim the gospel and also proclaim the word of God. Now, verse 5, we feel like that Timothy has begun to compromise here. So Paul addresses that. I charge you again. He reminds him that the charge to preach the word that has been given to him. And I remind you tonight, the charge that God has given to us to share the word of God in these dark days, okay? And so the word charge means a command to strongly exhort, a forceful order or directive. And there's a lot of imperatives or commands in this text here. One who interprets, proclaims, and exhorts from God's word has a great responsibility before the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of us that the gospel has been entrusted to will stand an account for whether or not we told other people about what the word of God says. Are you with me tonight? We will be judged on that. And then he says, the second word, judge, it is Christ who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. He's not talking about believers and unbelievers. He's talking about those that are dead, that are asleep in Jesus, right, that have died, and those that are alive. And at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to judge those that called up first, and then us believers who are alive and remain. We're going to give an account before him. The judgment seat is the context here. A judgment of believers in the judgment seat about how what we've done with what he's given us. Not our salvation. Unbelievers stand at the great white throne judgment. We stand at the Bema seat for gain or loss or rewards. So the living and the dead are called up in the rapture, and then we have what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those are two things that church will participate in the tribulation period, in the air, while the world is going through hell on earth. So the first thing we need to understand is this, we will be judged. You know, sometimes we have the tendency, well, you know, I got to be careful at my work, or I got to do this, I got to do that, because I got to get my paycheck. But God one day is going to judge all of us based upon what the gifts he's given us and what we've done with them, and whether we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be unashamed in these dark days that we're living in. Tell people. If they counsel me, they just have to counsel me. I'm old. I'm ready to go to heaven anyway. But we need to impart truth into their lives, and that applies to all of us. And that brings me to my second point that we need to understand. We need to speak the word. Speak truth to error, right? Speak truth to untruth. Speak truth to confusion. Look in verse 2 through 4. We read that. It's a lengthy passage. But we are to preach the word. Now, there are six Greek words in the New Testament for preach. They all don't mean evangelize. Here, the word means, caruso means to proclaim or herald the word of God. Okay? We ought to bring the lost culture and other people in the church to bear about what God's word says. Amen? Aren't y'all ready to do that? Amen? Y'all ready to go now, right? All right. Speak truth to error. Now, what does it mean to preach the word? Well, some believe it's a style over substance. Well, we get a guy in here that's kind of flashy and all this, that, and that. Oh, he preached today, didn't he? Preaching is not performing. Preaching is substance, right? Did he preach the Bible, right? Did he preach the Bible? I don't care if he runs around the church, if he jumps over this, all that, swings his leg over this pulpit, or jumps from pew, every other pew or not. Did he preach the Bible, right? That's what preaching is, right? And by the way, don't expect that from me. You'll never get it, right? But it's not how you preach, it's what you preach. So we preach the word. Now, what is the word? What does it mean to preach the word or proclaim the word? What does that mean? Well, we do it two ways. Number one, preach the whole counsel of God. Don't skip over verses. Old Testament, New Testament, old and new. Law and history, wisdom, prophets, epistles, gospels, prophecy. Preach the Bible from front to back, right? Preachers just hate it when they come up a troubling text and they want to go pull their books down and find out what other people say about that text. And they, more cases than not, they don't say anything about that text. That gets my goat. They stop right before the verse that I want to know about and they go on over to something else, right? And that just gets my goat. And, preach the whole counsel of God. And by the way, a lot of times they stop at that verse because it might make somebody mad in the church, right? So what does it mean, preach the word? It means putting the biblical text in its biblical context with the author's intent and the outline of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what it means. The preacher in verse 2 is to be instant in season and out of season. You are to be instant and in season and out of season. When it's popular, when it's unpopular. When it's going to bring about, if you will, persecution or not persecution. It means to be instant, be eager, be urgent, be prepared, willing, and ready to proclaim the word of God. And when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. And I will tell you, we are in a season when it's not popular to preach the word of God. Then also the preacher exposes sin and encourages holy living in verse 2 and 3. And this is what you do too when you proclaim the word of God or you speak truth. You speak Bible into somebody's heart. It's going to bring back about negative results. It's going to bring back positive results. You notice there, it says the word reprove, rebuke, exhort. You see that in our text in chapter 4. Paul says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. How? Well, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Reprove means to confront the word of God, bring the word of God, the person that's in error or the person that is an unbeliever. Confront them with the word of God to correct a wrong behavior or a wrong belief. And all of us have wrong beliefs and wrong behaviors that need to be corrected. And then comes the rebuke. That is the guilt that the word of God brings when it confronts a person with sin. guilt and then repentance. We're being taught today, people are being taught today, don't make anybody feel guilty. Don't get in their space, you know. Who are you to do that? But there is no conversion. There is no repentance without guilt. People have to be found guilty before they can understand what it is they need to change. And then exhort. That's the last thing that comes along. It means to call alongside, to appeal, to counsel, to show them how they can get back in right standing, to comfort them in the midst of their guilt, in the midst of the rebuke and reproof. So that's what the preacher does. That's what you do. And it's not popular. You don't feel good when you do it. You know, when you hear somebody out there say, you know, I believe it's a woman's choice to have an abortion. Now, are you going to remain silent or are you going to speak up, right? And yeah, you may lose a friend, but what kind of friend was that friend, right? Are y'all with me? All right, y'all shake your head now and then, blink your eyes, or I'm going to call 911 and pick up half of you up, right? But, you know, it doesn't make you feel good to do that. But you're not doing it. The Word of God is doing it. The Holy Spirit is doing it, right? And then if we're going to be effective in these last days ministry, we need to be, number three, notice verse 5a, be watchful. Be sober, the Word of God says there. Now, we're not talking about drunk versus non-drunk. We're talking about serious. Be watchful. It means to be level-headed, well-balanced, stable, unwavering, discreet, and steadfast. That's what we need to be in these last days. We can't be wishy-washy, folks, right? We can't be in and out. We can't be up and down. You know, we need to be stable in these last days. Self-control, right? In these last days, as churches apostatize, and they are doing it, man, I got contacts and I got read this and that, and they're leaving sound doctrine left and right, you know. And so as the church is apostatized, we know also that that's another sign of what we were talking about this morning, the apostasy of the church, the falling away of the church. And so we're to be unchanging to the gospel and the Bible doctrine. We can't change what was first delivered to us 2,000 years ago when Jude says the faith that was once delivered to the saints, historical Christian doctrine, and now people are coming up with their own doctrines. And I'm gonna speak on this one Sunday, but there are a lot of churches where this critical race theory and wokeness have crept into the church, and they're now speaking on racial issues more than they are the gospel, right? That's not the gospel. The gospel is the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen? But they're leaving that and going because they're being under pressure by the world to say, you're white, therefore you are privileged, and you ought to be sad about that, and we're going to promote these other people ahead of you because of your whiteness. And it's meant to send a guilt trip on all of us, right? And that's come into these churches big time. But it's not going to be as long as I'm here or you're here, I don't think, right? We're going to do what God called us to do. We're going to preach the gospel, right? And let God work on hearts to work out racial issues, right? So in these last days, we don't need to be ear ticklers. We don't need to be men pleasers. We don't need to be compromisers. We need to proclaim the Word of God. Speak the Word of God to their heart in these last days and be watchful. Be sober. You know, we ought to be serious about this, you know. So coming to church is not what it used to be, folks. It's getting serious. Are y'all with me? It's getting serious. God's wanting to know who's with him and who's against him, right? And he's sifting his church, as Linda said, separating believers from unbelievers. If you can't get them here when COVID's here, how are you going to get them here when the possibility is they're going to go to jail for speaking truth, right? So be watchful, be sober. And then number four, endure hardship. Look in verse 5 again of our text here. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. You know, the ministry and afflictions come hand in hand. Jesus said, if all that live godly shall suffer persecution, right? And if you speak truth into people's heart, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to do this. They're going to cost you maybe a job. They're going to cost you maybe whatever it is, you know, but we can't be ashamed of the gospel, right? We are to endure afflictions or hardships that come from the ministry in truth. When God called me to preach, he also called me to suffer. When God called you as a child of God, he's also called you to suffer, right? It's been granted to you to suffer for the cause of righteousness, right? But that's the one thing we try to avoid, right? Try to get in our little comfortable bubble and say, we're not going to make nobody mad. We're not going to get outside this bubble because we're safe in this little bubble, you know. But if you're going to do ministry the way it needs to be in these last days, you're going to make some people mad, right? And you got to be willing to pay that price. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 says, thou therefore, Paul's talking to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier of the cross, a soldier in God's army, right? And what the soldiers do, they fight, right? We're fighting the good fight of the faith. We don't back off, right? And John MacArthur said it this way, there's no such thing as a faithful ministry that is not costly. There's no such thing as a faithful ministry that is not costly. He goes on to say, a painless ministry is shallow and fruitless. I'm going to go through life, I'm going to serve the king, and I ain't no bad thing. I ain't going to make no waves. I ain't going to, you know, I want a painless ministry as a Christian. Well, you're on the wrong road, okay? Because it's going to cost you, right? And then lastly, if we're going to, or next to last, well, if we're going to share in this last days, we need to share the gospel. Not only share the word, bring it to bear on things that we come across, but we need to share the gospel. Verse 5c, look at that in chapter 4. But thou be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. We're to be faithful in sharing the good news that Jesus saves. To evangelize. It's used 76 times in the New Testament. It's a command given to evangelize to pastors and evangelists and to everybody else in the body of Christ, right? 76 times. I was talking to a Primitive Baptist preacher one time in Barrick that I knew, and I was curious. I mean, how do you know when people are saved? Because the Primitive Baptists believe that you're going to be saved, whatever. No, you don't need to do anything about it. One day you're just going to show up at church, you know. And I asked him, I said, how do you know people are saved? Well, God just begins to stir their heart to come to church. And how shallow is that? Because lost people come to church too, right? You know. And so they don't never share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When you have it, the command 76 times in the New Testament, right? They honestly believe they're not supposed to do it. We believe we are, but we don't. I mean, that's kind of ironic, ain't it? He says, share the gospel. The purpose of evangelization is to make unbelievers aware of their sinfulness and the holiness of Christ, right? You got to be convicted that you're a sinner first, right? And you got to know who it is that's saving you. And they'll never know this Jesus if we don't proclaim who he is, right? He's the only Lord and the only Savior. Lord is before Savior. And that's another thing that gets my goat. We always say, well, he's my Savior and my Lord. No, he's your Lord, then your Savior, right? And we need to understand that. If we can't share the gospel in darkness, don't tell me you're sharing it in light, okay? And then number 6, the last one, if we're going to be effective in these last days, which we're in, we need to be faithful to your call, faithful to your call. All of us have a call to salvation. All of us have a call to service. We need to be faithful to what God has called us to do. Look in the latter part of verse 5. Make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. This is, again, is an imperative. The text is full of imperatives. It carries the idea of giving full measure or bringing to completion. We are to be eager and fully devoted to what God has called us to do, right? If I'm a preacher, I need to preach. If I'm a pastor, I need to shepherd, right? If you're a Sunday school teacher, you teach, right? If whatever gift, you have the gift of mercy, give mercy. If you have the gift of helps, serve. You had the gift of giving, give, right? Make full proof of thy ministry is what he's saying, okay? You see what I'm saying? I don't know if I got across tonight or not, but it's not my fault, okay? Make full proof of your ministry. You're not a part-time preacher. You're not a part-time pastor. You're not a part-time teacher. You're not a part-time usher. You're not a part-time what? You're not a part-time this. God has called you to serve faithfully till you go home. Let me ask you a question. Look in chapter 4, verse 7. Look what Paul says, his assessment of his ministry in 2 Timothy 4, 7. At first, in verse 6, he says, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He's ready to go home. You know, but look at what he said in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, I want to ask you a personal question. You don't have to respond tonight, okay? Is that a text, verse 7, that the preacher can say over you at your funeral? That you fought the good fight, you finished the course, and you kept the faith. Or does a preacher have to lie at your funeral, right? By the way, I'm not saying they do that. I'm not saying I'm going to do that. I'm saying if we can't say that, then there's not much less we can say, right? You know, would I be able to say that? Would another preacher be able to say that over my casket? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. As our musicians come, we're going to have an invitation tonight. I think we need one.